I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, I'm Esteban Granero, and you're listening to the Football Rumble.
Bish, bash, bosh. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Football Ramble. It's lovely to have you back. I've got three beautiful men for you to meet. James.
Hello.
Pete.
Easy Rasta Mace.
And the one all the ladies want, Luke.
Oh, me. All right. How you doing? All right, yeah.
How are you, boys?
Well, all right. Marcus, I'd like to thank you for attending my 30th birthday party. And also, Luke, I'd like to thank you for attending
Pete,
my 30th birthday
party.
Do the
thank you stop there?
Let's just get on with the show, yeah?
It's my gift to you, Pete. Was not turning.
Let's just get on with the show, yeah.
Disgracing myself.
I think everyone was happy.
Yeah, if Jim was there, I would have had the worst time. So even yourself that.
Did you come out on my birthday? Any of you?
You didn't invite us.
No, I didn't.
No.
Mutual understanding there, ladies and gentlemen. Right. Recently, there was another celebration, not just Pete's 30th. It was a royal wedding.
Osama bin Laden's dead. No.
You got it in earlier than I thought you would. Yeah. No, it was the royal wedding, of course. Mm. A lovely time was had by all. That got me thinking, if you had a wedding and you had to have a footballer as your best man, who would you choose, James?
Well, if, you know, a best man's got a lot of responsibilities at a wedding. You know, he's got to do the speech and stuff like that. You can't. You've got to think of your wife or your wife to be there. You can't be in a situation where, you know, the day comes around and she's like, "Why have you never mentioned this Edmundo before?" you can't be in that situation. You've got to pick someone who's not going to let you down and be mad. There's someone. The obvious choice is, you know, a well-known family man, but I don't think I'd pick him now. After,
well, because of a super injunction.
There's a super injunction. That means I can't pick the person I originally thought of.
To be a dad of the year.
Yeah, you know,
dad of the year, something like
that. You can't even mention that you were going to pick him.
I know. Yeah, it's a shame. So I want a man with some class, you know, and a man who I respect greatly. Who
Jamie
would be
Carragher?
Very smooth. No, emphatically not him. Although I did once tie Jamie Carragher in absolute knots. I would pick Thierry Henry.
Really?
I don't think he'd let me down.
No.
I think he'd be smooth, he'd be charming, he'd be exactly what you want.
His speech would be magnificent.
It'd be great, wouldn't
really
it?
Smooth, yeah. Mm.
And he's
bavavoom.
Yeah. Very much a Pete.
I'd go for Jose Mourinho because I'm yet to see a best man speech delivered from a laundry basket.
What sort of stag weekend would Jose Mourinho take you on?
It would be like some frightful things would happen, but then he'd sort of try and distract the police authorities.
I can imagine you doing like an activity, and then him like, and then the activity not going as well as he planned, him blaming all the officials.
Yeah, I think the
go karting was a disgrace.
No, but I think though that obviously the stag is meant to be stitched up. So whether it be he's the one who has to get paintballs shot at him when he's naked or something, whatever it is, but Jose likes to deflect the attention away, so he would probably take it all himself.
Yeah. Well, didn't he notably like, I think it was the back end of last season, didn't he push one of his coaches into a swimming pool?
Oh, that was like that was something like that, wasn't it?
You get a letter or a,
just an example of the laughs they have, isn't
it? Yeah. Yeah, so you could end up in a swimming pool. Yeah. Jose Mourinho is your best man on your stag do. Luke?
I'm sort of on the extension of the reliability theme on Jim.
Right.
Part of me really wants to go, obviously, for Robert Prosinecki, because the stag weekend thing, he knows Eastern Europe very well.
Yeah.
He definitely going to take it to all the best haunts and stuff.
Haunts.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I could have a smoke and he wouldn't tell anyone. All that sort of stuff. But, I mean, Robert Prosinecki is not going to give a dynamic best man speech.
No,
he's not.
He can't even speak English for a start.
His surname's oddly appropriate for what you seem to be suggesting, though.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's true. So I'm going to go for Phil Neville.
Right.
He won't let you down.
No.
Safe pair of hands.
Yeah, it's safe pair of
hands.
Probably
not going to upstage you as well, because he's quite bland.
And
see, Henri might upstage me.
Yeah, well,
almost. Well, he definitely would. He looked brilliant. There's no question of it.
All joking aside, no, seriously, no one's going to upstage me. But Phil Neville spends his career sort of covering for other people. So if I muck up or do something wrong, it always covers for me.
He's a utility best man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's got to be Phil Neville for me.
It's very good. I'm going to go for another Phil. Phil Brown. Because
like
I'm going
to sing songs.
He gets stuck into the bridesmaids.
Because if it was in summer, then sometimes you might want to be outside for some of the speech. He'll take everybody outside, yeah. And he'll sit him in a circle.
Good.
You know the drill. Yeah. You know the drill. Luke, you've got the points there, pal.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
you could have had Ronaldo, of course, but the stag do would be one hell of an affair.
Yeah, listen, you've got to balance it between. You've got to balance it between stag weekend and organisation of speech. Any Brazilian is going to be brilliant at the stag weekend, yeah. Apart from potentially Kaká.
Yeah.
Kaká would make up for it with the speech, though. He'd make you cry.
Yeah. He would.
In a good way.
He would, yeah.
In a good way.
Absolutely.
Luke's got the points there for that incredibly important question. Now, on to the Premier League. Chelsea 2, Spurs 1, controversial goals and that.
Or on goals.
Yeah, exactly. Frank Lampard with another special.
It was about as close to a goal without it being a goal, which I think should make it more of a goal.
Right.
That's not the rules.
Okay.
That's not the rules. If it's really close to being a goal.
Yeah. Oh, you've done well there. Yeah. How did you get it so close without it going in?
Does it annoy you, like, if it hits the inside of the post and goes away? Would you count that?
Yeah, I'd count that as, yeah.
I think, you know, anyone looking back at the footage of that is going to go, it didn't go in, but you deserve that, Gomez, you idiot.
He was playing so well up to that point. He was doing some cracking saves.
In the Arsenal game, the Robin van Persie goal that was disallowed for offside, you know, he slapped it into the net. Do you know what I mean? The fact it was disallowed for offside is by the by for me. Yeah. You can't be doing that.
He should be playing for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Because he fits the bill. He goes from the sublime to the ridiculous at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they look for.
I felt really sorry for Gomez because it didn't go in.
No.
It was kind of like, oh man.
But it's almost like punishment. It's justice. For making such a bad error. It's such a bad error.
It didn't go in.
It's so basic.
He faced a lot of difficult. Like, Drogba's free kicks. He fancied a free kick last year, didn't he?
The one he tipped onto the bar. Good goal from Sandro. Redknapp wasn't having the celebration.
Yeah, I didn't really understand what was happening.
I think before he scored, he was maybe midpoint shouting at him, and then he scored with a big old toy volley.
Yeah,
it was.
So he couldn't change his mind.
Yeah,
he'd gone too far. He had to keep having a go at it.
Well, I thought that Sandro, he was his first one for Spurs, I think, and he was obviously very pleased and ran over to celebrate with maybe the bench or the manager. And I got the impression that Redknapp was like, no, don't, you know, it's 1-0, it's at Stamford Bridge, calm down, don't go over the top, get back over there.
No, I thought he was celebrating, then Redknapp called him over.
Oh, right, okay.
That was my interpretation of it, and told him to sit back and not go forward. That's what I thought, but I obviously didn't see it that closely.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a good goal.
Yeah, lovely goal. And Kalou coming on to get the
win. Well, that was a ridiculous decision. It was clearly offside. Absolutely right. It wasn't a great weekend for referee performances.
No, it really wasn't.
And assistant referee performances either. I mean, fair enough. It was quite a quick sort of marginal decision, but it was offside. I mean, you could see it was offside.
Yeah.
And Spurs can consider themselves very unlucky. I mean, it's probably going to.
Yeah.
It looks like. I mean, you could argue lots of different reasons they're not going to get into the top four. I mean, you know, Wolves, West Ham, Wigan, West Brom, Blackpool would all have a say in why they're not going to get into the fourth position. But that's really sounded the death knell for their chances. And you've got to feel sorry for them.
City have pulled away now, haven't they? They've got to play each other, but they've got a cushion now. And I can't see City slipping up now.
Yeah.
But also, City have got a much, much better goal difference than Spurs as well, even if they did get there.
Mm. Arsenal, James.
Yeah, it was a great win, wasn't
better.
It?
Better.
Again, though, the refereeing decisions. I mean, the one with Vidic, the blatant handball, just sort of slapping it out of the way. I can't believe that the linesman didn't see it. Also, the assistant referee. I mean, it was tough to see at first.
Quick.
It was very, very quick.
Not for the referee's assistant.
But that's his job, isn't it? You've got to.
It's like Souness said. Souness was beside himself, wasn't he?
But he was annoyed with the linesman.
It was Chris Foy, wasn't it?
The referee was.
Yeah. And he just kept on getting, for my money, he just kept on getting away in the way of the play. He stopped the ball a couple of times. He knocked into a play a couple of times.
Yeah. I saw that happen. But surely you want a referee close to the play, don't you?
Yeah, but not if he can't get out of the way of the ball. Yeah.
Not playing.
What is he looking at if he's not looking at the ball?
Yeah.
The assistant. There's a point in it like he was going to header it.
Happy class.
You know that. That United should have had a penalty as well.
Yeah, of course they should.
I'm
not going to deny that for a moment. It was a kind of a rake down. I don't know why the hell he did that. It was incredible that he got away with it. But it's such a
he'd been playing so well
over
then as well.
Michael Owen still terrorising defences.
Indeed,
just not terrorising the goal
at the age of 24.
He just, unfortunately, now he just stops at the defences. He doesn't, yeah, he doesn't terrorise the goal.
Still got it.
But Clichy, and was it Clichy, wasn't he? Did, yeah, that? Him and Giroud are their longest serving players, Arsenal, I think.
Yeah, was, yeah, I think Van Persie's been there.
He's been there a while as well. Yeah.
But it's, yeah, yes, the whole team played very, very well. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, the pressure's off Arsenal, so they're playing well. There's probably some truth in that. But it's this funny one because, you know, we've lambasted Arsenal so many times, and Wenger keeps, yeah, saying, we're only, you know, we're not that far away, we're not that far away. And it's funny looking at the stats, you know, they're not really. But it's just. It's just, they're just mind-boggling. It's just that pressure.
But the pressure's
kills
gone,
them,
so they can play now. It's as, yeah, simple as that.
But do you think it would have made a difference with Ramsey and Wilshere in there? They certainly link quite well.
Yeah, I mean, Ramsey back is massive because he was starting to be a real force before he got his injury. It was, you know, putting some. That's exactly what Arsenal were lacking. It's those people pushing to get, yeah, in the side. Alex, yeah, Song's an example of a, yeah, player who's got nobody behind him. Like, he can walk into that team easily.
Yeah.
And but Ramsey being back puts pressure on Wilshere and Fabregas as well.
But,
also,
but I think
a good,
I think,
option off the bench.
I think Ramsey's sort of position, playing quite well in a couple of matches at the end of the season, sort of papers over a lot of cracks. And they sort of thinking it'll be another season where they sort of go, well, we don't need to buy big, yeah, we don't need to replace Fabregas when he leaves. You know what I mean? It just seems a little bit strange that. I don't think you should be deciding what you're going to do in the summer from the last three performances of the season.
Pete, you were at the game.
I was at the game. I saw Gunnosaurus.
Yep. Yes.
What, now, what does, brilliant, he fire into the crowd? Because
T-shirts.
I thought, well, that's what it isn't, though.
Isn't it?
I think it used to be, but now they've sort of cut back a bit. It seems to be a single mitten. It does look like a single mitten. I'd love to know what it exactly is, but it's definitely not a T-shirt. I think it might be a bag of sweets. But I was very, wow, I was very.
Did you not get one? Did you get five?
I didn't get one. No, no. But I did enjoy a man when Michael Owen came on. A man near me doing about 5 minutes of Michael Owen, right to the point where his mates went, just stop now, because he just would not shut up.
God. Well, Arsenal. To be fair to Arsenal,
he doesn't remember the FA Cup final.
They've beaten United, City, Chelsea, yep, Barcelona, obviously not in the league, but, you know, yeah, the season they've got the capability.
There's been some big performances in there, and that's what the frustrating thing is. You look at the games against sort of like Newcastle, yeah, you look, all these 2 points dropped all over the place. You think, they should be up there.
Yeah.
United now, only 3 points in,
yeah,
front of Chelsea.
A United supporting friend of mine is convinced Chelsea are going to pit them to it.
Yeah,
I can't see it myself. I think United will weather this out. I can't see them collapsing like that. It's just so unlike them.
Well, Rooney was back to his sort of worst, where he was dropping so far.
Credit to Song, though. It was Song keeping him quiet there. I think he was pulling
right in the centre of the field, and he was doing those sort of crossfield balls. Every time he got the ball, he'd bang it right, yeah, and then come back in for the header for the centre.
He got a bit of stick, didn't he, Pete?
He gets his fat granny shagger sort of mantle. But I mean, like, I was sort of saying earlier on, like, when he was 16, do you really think that he couldn't have dreamed that he could have a worse nickname on the terraces? Fat granny shagger. Yeah. What an awful name.
And the fact that it's based in truth.
Yeah, he's only got himself to blame.
Well, he's not fat, is he?
No, he's not fat, obviously. Well.
The thing he did that we've made him beyond reproach for me is that he fouled and then kicked the ball at England's Rose. England's brave Jack Wilshere.
No, England's Rose.
England's Rose.
England's,
yeah,
brave is John
Rooney,
Terry.
Rooney was fairly petulant all the way through the match when, like, he'd taken two free kicks, put them in, and there were a couple of decent free kicks, but then I think it was Nani took the ball off him, and he was really upset.
Yeah. United are trying to hijack City's reported bid for Chilean international Alexis Sanchez, currently
Udinese.
We love to have him over here, I think.
What's disappointing about that, though, is that transfer windows, well, yes, genuinely, I'd love to see him at Arsenal. He'd be perfect, actually. Yeah. But what
really lightweight, wide.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Probably, you know.
No experience to Premier League.
Be played out of position,
yeah,
I would imagine.
Yeah. I'll sharpen to be pleased, I would have thought.
Yeah, exactly. But, what's frustrating about the transfer window now is basically you take a exciting new player, look sort of like Alexis Sanchez, and you just go City, Chelsea, that's it. They're just linked to City and Chelsea, and that seems to be, it's boring now.
Well, United are trying to hijack it, James.
Exactly.
But they're both trying to get Schneider at the same time, so I think, like, one can have Schneider.
Well, I mean, Sanchez was linked to Inter at various points, sort of earlier on in the season.
He's linked to a few clubs,
and he's had an all right season. He had a good World Cup as well, actually, from what I remember.
Yeah,
but he's definitely got a few goals this season for Udinese. But
he's a quality player.
Didn't he get 4 in a match, or was it 5 in a match?
I think it was 4. It was the big score.
A haul.
It was a haul.
A haul indeed. Now, Arsene Wenger, he's trying to hijack Bayern's bid for Schalke goalkeeper Manuel Neuer.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Didn't Alex Ferguson bend his ear at the end of the
apparently
match?
No, there's been no links, actually, with United.
He had a little chat with him, didn't he?
He did. He was very impressed with Ferguson in the first leg of the Champions League semi-final.
Ferguson's comments after the Arsenal game were absolutely obscene. Yeah, I know he's trying to take the pressure off his players and stuff, but he was seriously, I don't know how.
One penalty was harder to see, so, you know, don't worry about that one.
He says stuff, which is obviously, they're mind games, we all understand that. He said, but he says it with a straight face, which makes me think that he actually believes it. Because he says stuff like, United don't get big decisions in big games. Yeah. He's like, can you, really? Yeah. Yeah. Seriously?
Name one.
Are we going there? You know, that's crazy.
It's like Mourinho, though, isn't it? He's just, you know, it's not as overtly, but he's saying there's a conspiracy against them.
I'll come on to Mourinho in a bit, I would imagine. But I've got a lot of things to say about him.
You know? Yeah, well, we certainly will.
You'll be no doubt pleased to know, listening.
Yes.
But the coverage of the Manuel Neuer thing is actually a little bit disrespectful for Bayern Munich, I think, because it's almost like, you know, when people couldn't believe why Cristiano Ronaldo wanted to go to Real Madrid when he was at Manchester United. Yeah. They underestimated how big Real Madrid are in continental Europe. Yeah. But it's the same with Bayern Munich in Germany.
Yeah, they dominate, don't they? They're the Man United.
And there's every reason to suggest that he's German, so he'd want to be at Bayern Munich over some reason.
Well, it was looking very, very likely, wasn't it, that Neuer would end up at Bayern, and it almost seemed like a done deal.
Well, Schalke don't like Bayern Munich in general, I don't think, and they all sing a song, don't they, about how they'd never play for Bayern Munich, and Neuer apparently refused to sing it.
Well, yeah, because Neuer is a staunch Schalke fan, isn't he? Sort of always grown up professing his sort of you know, his love for the club, so for him to go to Bayern would be a real tough thing for them to stomach.
It's a bit like Rooney going to United, Alan Smith going to United from Leeds as well.
We've seen it before.
Yeah.
And we'll see it again, no doubt. There was a local derby, West Brom versus Aston Villa.
Sort of local.
Yeah, well, it is, sort of. James, having that as a derby?
No,
well, it's not up to you to
decide. I've never walked from Birmingham to West Brom, so I don't know if it's that close.
Come on, it's a derby. And it was won by West Brom.
Odin Wingy's a handsome chap, isn't he?
He's decent, yeah.
Decent looking.
Decent. He's a decent looking chap.
Not handsome spelling of his name.
No, it isn't. It's a very
difficult. It's a difficult word.
Although I have managed it perfectly in my notes.
Oh, so. Well done.
Well done. Well done. He became the first West Brom player to have scored 4 consecutive Premier League goals.
He's had a good season.
In 4 games.
Yeah. Sorry. I read recently that Chris Brunt is the player who's created the most chances in the league this season. At the time, it was something like 84. Incredible.
I've got some amazing tactical analysis about Chris Brunt.
Far away.
He can kick the ball really hard.
He can, yeah.
Especially with penalties against Liverpool.
With what?
Penalties.
Yeah. Keep getting that wrong.
Forgive me. First time in 26 years they've beaten Aston Villa.
Yeah, Villa are safe now, though, aren't they? West Brom needed that.
West Brom is safe. Roy's gone in and bang.
Yeah, with someone else's score, as we said before, as well. It's a good effort.
It's a great effort. And what was also a good effort, Kenny Dalglish at Liverpool, 3-0 against the Geordie boys.
Yeah. The job Dalglish has done there is incredible.
Didn't say, I think I said it before, I did not see that coming at all. And he's done so well.
I was the only one, I think, in this show that said it'd be an alright appointment, I think, if I remember.
Can't remember and don't care.
Fair enough.
Jamie Carragher got his 665th appearance for Liverpool, and he's now...
When he gets the next one, that'll be completely apt.
Yeah.
He should retire.
He's second now in the most, capped Liverpool players,
would you
say?
He's not going to get first, though, is he?
No, he's not going to get first, but he's in there with Emlyn Hughes and Ray Clements.
I reckon I could do an Emlyn Hughes impression when my voice wasn't ruined.
Okay.
Well, one of my few voices I could probably do.
We'll look forward to that in the near future. Yeah.
Do let us know when you feel ready.
Put that in your diaries.
I'll take a big long run up.
But I'll tell you, the one thing who's been absolutely amazing for Liverpool since he signed is Luis Suarez. And I think I've predicted big things for him next season.
Different class.
And also the youth they've got coming through. Like John Flanagan looks a good player. Yeah. And Jay Spearing's been playing very well, and he's giving them a chance. What's his name, the left back? Jack, I forget. He played very, very well against Arsenal, and it's great that Kenny's pushing them through.
Spearing was unlucky not to score, of course, against Newcastle.
Newcastle need to spend in the summer.
They need a striker.
They need a right back. Yeah. They need some help.
Williamson gave away a penalty, didn't he?
Yeah.
I was disappointed. I quite like Williamson, but we do need.
Suarez went down very easy there, though.
I don't think Dirk Cowell's missed a penalty in the Premier League. I'm putting it out there.
I think it's 4 out of 4
this season. Or in total?
I don't think he's taken that many.
Okay, right. I don't think he's missed one.
This season, he's scored all his goals.
Yeah, no, he's been handy from the spot.
He's a very underrated player. We've said it so many times.
I agree with that. I think he's absolutely intrinsic to Liverpool and to Holland,
There you go. Is it championship time?
You tell us. You're in charge of these sort of things.
No, I'm asking myself. Yeah. I think it is. QPR have finally been promoted.
Yeah.
Is the pitch event still happening?
Never left.
Well, we're staying here until it's official then.
Yeah. We can all go home. That's presumably if they don't get the 10-point deduction.
Mm.
That's never going to happen.
I think that's unlikely.
Is that right?
Neil Warnock's head would explode. Yeah.
But his old club, Sheffield United, have been relegated.
Yeah, that's a shame to see, actually. A series of sort of...
James
shaking his head. A series of sort of... bad managerial appointments, I would yeah. suggest.
Forest are pretty much in the playoffs, so after a 5-1-er.
Yeah. I think Leeds need a 6-goal swing to change it with 2 games left. But by the way, on the Sheffield United thing, they were a little bit unlucky because Gary Speed left them, of course. Yeah. You never know, he wasn't doing great there, but you never know what he would have gone on to achieve. Mm. You know,
so ultimately, one half of Def Leppard will be upset.
Absolutely.
the others, of course, are Wednesday fans. Palace have stayed up. I think that's good to see.
Yeah.
And did you see this? Jimmy Bullard was named Fans Player of the Season for Ipswich Town. He's only played 16 games.
He's scored like 5 goals, though, hasn't he? He's done all right for midfield.
He's really sort of injected some life into them, isn't
he? True, but Fans Player of the Season?
He was great. It's their decision. Well, So, hang on a second. You're going against a fans' decision against a player you've not seen play this season at a ground you've not been to.
Hang on a minute. I never said anything. I merely said that he'd been, you know, tone of my voice was deceptive.
He should have got given a nod. For the appearance he made on Goals on Sunday this week, which was absolutely superb.
What did he do?
He's just full of personality, isn't he? He's got opinions. He's a funny lad. I know all Fulham fans think, Marcus probably included, think he's a money grabbing idiot. But I think he's.
Why would I think that?
I'm just saying. I think you might think he's a bit.
I thought he was. He was good for Fulham.
And also, he tried to steer the conversation towards fishing every chance
he could.
He loves his fishing on Bullard.
But I mean, Ipswich were drab.
At the start of the season,
I'm sure their fans are very, very depressed under Keane, and you wouldn't even dare chant Keane out.
Roy Keane,
he'd hunt you down personally. It must have been a horrible time.
When it goes,
Bullard's been the symbol of it. You know, all
he'd have a mannerism.
Positive again.
there are injured players. Like, weren't they saying that like Roy Keane wouldn't even talk to them? Just of the temerity of being injured. No. But you know, it strikes me
weakness.
When it all goes sour for Roy Keane at a club, it's like a particularly grim part of Middle Earth.
Yeah.
It's always cold, snowing, there's no
sun. Sun just doesn't come back.
No leaves in the trees,
It's like a scene from Seven.
There's heads on pikes at the end of the training ground.
Like even the dogs are sad.
even further down the league, Bournemouth getting into the playoffs, despite Hartlepool United scoring with their keeper.
I love
a keeper score.
Oh, how did he score it?
Header, but it was
nice.
But he let in 2 howlers as well beforehand, and then
he's more than made up for it. I know mathematically he hasn't. But
94th minute, header. Oh, I love
great
that.
Stuff. But memories are better than maths.
I shouted at my maths teacher.
Oh dear! Did you see in the SPL Rangers won? They beat Motherwell 5-0.
Did you see the sun came up the other day?
Oh. I saw David Weir's frankly silly fashion decision.
Well,
so provocative.
Yeah.
It was an embroidered message on his shirt expressing his congratulations to Prince William and Catherine Middleton.
But there's some weirdness over this, though, isn't there? There's some confusion as to the origin of it.
David Weir, and for the benefit of this story, I should probably say, 40 years old, David Weir, apparently didn't even know it was being stitched into his kit, but decided to wear it anyway.
Indeed.
They surely do.
Oh, after some players will change their shirt at half time. Walter Smith was asked by Eddie about it, and he said, sorry, I can't enlighten you at all. It must have been the kit man.
Oh god,
come on, Walter.
They're all at it, aren't
you're
they?
All
they're
behind all it. They probably thought, who can we choose in this team who will maybe get away with it, because David is, you know, likeable chap, Scotland caps, all the rest of it. I'd have sent Diouf out with it personally.
Got nothing to lose. He's already at rock bottom.
He's Senegalese. He doesn't understand all the politics of it.
He's probably suspended, so he couldn't. By the way, I think we can all agree that only one bunch of people come out of any sort of credit out of this situation. That's the
Gorgie boys.
There we go. The magnificent Gorgie boy.
weren't even involved in the match.
No.
They're in a 3-3 draw, though. Yeah. Scenes again.
Sadly, are quite close, aren't they?
They are.
Coming up the rear.
I think Hearts might nip in.
You're being stupid.
we had a, what's this book called? The Encyclopedia of British Football that I got for my birthday.
Written by Martin Tyler in 1979.
Yeah, 1920.
That's what he was doing before Sky.
There's a load of league tables. It was a long book. Yeah. It was a load of league tables. And from like 1923 and 1930 or something, Rangers, Celtic, Rangers, Celtic. Rangers, Celtic, Motherwell.
The well broke it up. But it's like the Portuguese top flight. It's only in 80 years or however long it's been. I don't think it's been 80 years, but however long it's been around, it's only been about 5 different teams that have won it.
Can I just say that compendium written in 1979 was unfortunately before the Aberdeen glory years of the 80s.
True.
They're not included.
True. Alex Ferguson weaving his magic.
Alex McLeish and Willie Miller. Keeping Ian Hansen out of the Scottish team.
They are.
Dreams.
Dreams can come true, ladies and gentlemen. And they did for Real Zaragoza in La Liga. They beat Real Madrid at the Bernabeu. Shows us just another home game.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell.
He's getting them all out of the way at once.
No, it's because it's a conspiracy.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Hang on, Real Madrid are playing Real Zaragoza. I thought they would just play Barca now. I thought there was a decision made.
Well, it was a training match.
Sorry. Oh, okay, right, okay.
Real Madrid with Bibs too. Real Madrid without Bibs.
No, what happened was because they got beaten at home, they got relegated from that league.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Could I make an outrageous tout?
You're going to.
I don't think, it may not be true, but I'd love to find out, and I've got the means to work it out. Is it the first weekend ever that every single semi-finalist in the Champions League
has lost?
Lost. Because Schalke lost as well.
That's a good shout, that.
Possibly.
Yeah, we'll have it.
Good.
Yeah, well, let's just claim that as fact. Good, yeah, okay, good knowledge.
Yeah.
We probably should have decided that before we came on. But
no, don't worry about that.
Barcelona and Real Madrid lost for the same at the same weekend for the first time in 3 years. Is that right as well?
Incredible, absolutely incredible. Now, obviously, the first leg of the Champions League between the two was won by Barcelona 2-0, and Jose was very angry with the referee and talking about conspiracies and all the rest of it.
Well done, well done. He was saying,
yeah, I saw him. Why was he doing that in English?
Good question.
Universal language.
Was the official English?
I think he was.
German.
Yeah, German, yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to speak Spanish or Portuguese. I wouldn't have thought.
No.
Well, they're a bilingual bunch. Mm.
Very racist of you.
The bilingual bunch, that's the worst cartoon I've ever thought of.
Just because you don't understand it. Did you hear Andy Townsend got a little bit of stick from some of the Madrid fans? He was in a restaurant.
So you know who he is then.
Glad to see that also other things are also universal.
We all shout, you're not Irish.
He was in a restaurant after the match, and some of the fans thought he was the referee, Wolfgang Stark. And he said, like, some bloke was shouting at him across the restaurant. He's like, what the hell's going on? And then, as he said, someone came up to him with a plant pot and said, this is for you. I don't know if that's an insult.
Yeah, right.
When they fired Robbie Earl, you weren't there. This back.
Was this a dream, Andy Townsend?
Adrian Charles was there, so it could have been. And he realised that he hadn't taken off his UEFA accreditation thing around his neck. So he thought, oh, bollocks, they thought I was the referee. But he then suddenly realised, and he was saying that how foolish and irresponsible it is of Jose Mourinho to whip up everybody and say it's the referee's fault. And as he said, I witnessed firsthand the effect Mourinho has on the fans. I wouldn't want to see him back in England.
We wouldn't want to see you back in England, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think one thing that's kind of been overlooked amid all the chaos around the Barcelona Real Madrid match is, it was a nasty tackle. It's very high. It's not like an absolute given that wasn't a sending off.
I noticed that I didn't think it was a sending off myself.
But did you see what?
But I can understand it being given.
Did you span?
I think it was Marker who released a video of it, but they'd photoshopped daylight in between the studs and the foot to make it like there was no contact at all.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and that's the second thing they've done this season. Did you see they also photoshopped out a defender in an offside decision?
Yeah.
Who did this?
Marker, it's the Real Madrid.
News
piece,
propaganda machine.
Do you see what Sevilla have been doing as well?
What have they been doing?
They've been like abusing the multi-ball system. Like, been basically, like, if they want to waste time, there's a ball on, they just chuck another one on. So, like, just think so it just wastes a bit of time. But they've done it two or three times, apparently. That's they've got in trouble with it.
I have seen that.
But the other thing that's worth mentioning with the Real Madrid Barca thing, and of course Barcelona were completely complicit in the ugly scenes that we saw. But Jim made a point last week, which I want to sort of move up on a bit, which is that Barcelona haven't got, you know, they've not got the divine right to be dominant in Spanish football between now and the end of time. And Real Madrid have also obviously got a lot more resources than Barcelona have,
and less debt.
If Mourinho just sort of bided his time,
yeah,
and tried to play the right way, because the thing is, regardless of all the money they spent, they don't go out to play football. At least Barcelona go out to try and play football. But I was looking, when you said this, I was looking at Barcelona's squad, right? And they've got a first team squad, 27 players, and six of those are out on loan, and the most notable one being Zlatan, who probably won't stay. So the six of them are out on loan. They've got that 21 left includes Pinto, who's a 35-year-old keeper who isn't that good,
and he
can get sent off at half time.
Careca, Fontas, Jeffrin and Bojan, who's in that as squad against injured. So they've only really got 15, 16
It's a very
players.
Small squad they've got.
And so they can't rotate that much. I mean, they played the game they lost at the weekend, Messi and Xavi both played, didn't they? They can't afford to rest players as much as Real Madrid can. So Real Madrid just bide their time.
Yeah.
Well, of course, yeah. Maybe that's why he thinks, let's go out there and kick them and injure them so they're buggered. Also, another thing that Andy Townsend said after the game, which I thought was, well, you make up your own minds if you think it's amusing. He said as they went off air, there was he said there were two men having a fight in front of him in the stadium, and as he put it, and these were decent seats.
That matters. Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Incredible.
You wouldn't think
peace.
A commoner could get in.
Money yeah. buys peace.
These two appear to be members of the serving classes.
Now, on the back of that, it was interesting to read Graham Pohl's article in the Daily Mail. Yes, I have said that sentence.
Yeah. You're a big fan of it, aren't you? You love the free DVDs that you get.
The fruity ladies on A-level results day.
Stories about how teenagers are growing ketamine out of refugee camps. I don't know.
And I hope they kill those teenagers, damn it.
Foreigners coming here stealing our AIDS.
I don't think all these things, and I don't read the damn thing apart from the other day when I
research.
Saw this.
Just say research.
Research.
Yeah, there you go.
Or research.
Up yours, Jimbo.
With a rusty one. Now, he was talking, Grandpa was talking about the dark arts of football.
Yeah.
And some of the things.
Being a ref.
Exactly, yeah. It was very interesting how some clubs and even FAs in national FAs try and influence referees and one thing and another. And he said that when Jose Mourinho was at Chelsea, he invited him to the training ground to speak to his team, and Mourinho introduced Graham Pohl as the number one referee, not just in England but in Europe. And he said that he then the next weekend refereed it was Chelsea at home to Manchester United, which was I think Jose Mourinho's first league game Chelsea. Chelsea won 1-0, and he said if he needed anything hospitality wise, and he said tongue in cheek that the referee's dressing room wasn't up to much, and he said the next time he went back to Stamford Bridge, it was fully refurbished, flat screen TV, new tiled showers, absolutely everything like that.
Did Jeff Winston ask for a mirror?
Why is he admitting this?
Well, he's out of the game now.
He's a whistleblower.
Yeah, but he's... is he the... Hey, that? That's good, that one. That's good, that one. No, but I mean, like, he's bit... You wouldn't even say that. Would you admit to sort of saying, well, the referee's quarter isn't very nice?
Yeah, but he's framing it as a joke, though, isn't he?
Yeah, so I think so.
To be fair, that's pretty sensible for Chelsea to do that, isn't it? I mean, they're not exactly... you know, bribing him. It's just sensible to have nice referees' quarters, right?
I mean, there are obviously things that teams and clubs will do to make the referee as comfortable as possible, and they push the boundaries of what is acceptable. I don't think that's a surprise, really.
Well, he said at one major European club they provide replica shirts in the correct sizes for the match officials' children. Now that's a bit odd. They've done the research.
It's all going up. This is buttering them up, isn't it?
You know what I mean?
Very threatening.
Well, that's what I mean.
We know how wide your kid's neck is.
Yeah. Well, there was
how much power to exert onto it.
Yeah.
Well, there was a footballer who famously played for the Crazy Gang, and it's not Vinnie Jones. And I was told by a reliable source that he used to say to the referee before the game, he'd find out what the referee's children were called, and he'd say, "Oh yeah, how's little Tim getting on?" and all this sort of stuff. Sorry. The referee wouldn't touch him for the whole game.
Scary.
But I always introduce myself to the ref and get his name. Always.
Oh, that's just your nature. You do that to the barman as well.
Because if you call him by a name, they don't get annoyed if you call him ref.
Oh dear.
That's how I've progressed to the very highest level.
Yeah. it's true. Apparently, also Real Madrid present the referee after the game with a really fancy watch.
Which I've heard about that before.
Now, how is this allowed?
Real Madrid press.
It's a commemorative watch, apparently. Yeah. I've heard that
spits out gold.
Yeah.
And the Spanish Federation do the same.
Yeah, nice.
But the funniest one, or the most harrowing one, it was when he went to Azerbaijan to referee Azerbaijan Finland, and they were greeted off the plane and escorted directly to the hotels, and there was no security check needed. After the game, Finland won 1-0, and that was during the game they won 1-0. After the game, they were taken to the airport. They were just dumped there, and they had to pay airport officials cash to allow them out of the country, as they didn't have the entry documents that were required.
So did they think, if we just let them in a bit quicker, it'll probably let us win?
Yeah, the referee can't score you a goal. The referee cannot put the ball in the net for you.
Surely 1-0 to Azerbaijan, 1-0 loss for Azerbaijan is a win for them, really.
Well,
surely. Come on.
Yeah. But it's interesting, though, isn't it?
Mm.
If it's all going on.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
He thinks that they don't play football anymore apart from England.
Yeah, oh, come on.
And as you said earlier, before we talked about the referee stuff, Barcelona did lose in the Liga. Yep. They lost to Real Sociedad. Mm. Barcelona, I think, have lost Gabriel Milito for the rest of the season.
Mm. And with that diddy little squad.
Yeah, exactly. That's another one.
Not ideal, is it?
Shrug another one off.
Don't shrug your shoulders at me, boyo.
I'm just merely suggesting that he's not a big loss. he never plays anymore.
Well, we'll see. Only time will tell.
I think
he's
got about 15 appearances this season or something.
Mm. Not that much time will tell.
Exactly, very true.
We're at the business end.
Business end. Speaking of which, in Serie A, Milan are with 1 point away from winning the title after beating Bologna 1-0. Doesn't surprise us though, does it?
I told you it was done. I told you that.
Yeah, you did tell us. In the Bundesliga, it is done. Dortmund are champions.
Oh, I really hope they keep their squad together for the Champions League this season.
I'm really looking forward to seeing them in Europe.
Aren't we all? The black and yellow. Mm.
St. Pauli are down.
Pretty much,
aren't they? Yeah. Two games left or something.
Such a shame.
Yeah. Oh dear, oh dear.
We can back them, can't we, eh?
Yeah. We can still follow in the second division.
Yeah.
It'd be harder. We can still do it.
We'll find a way. Mm. We'll get out there, yeah.
Indeed. Oh, I feel a bit down, St. Pauli. On the brink of relegation.
Mm.
I need a bit of cheering up. Hang on a minute. Luke's gone off somewhere. Where could he have gone, James?
It's not the fridge, so there's only one other possibility.
You don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know where I went on the way, all right? You're not even my real dad.
It's like Didier Drogba. You don't know that. It's a fucking disgrace.
Yes, I've blown the dust off.
No.
I've taken the cobwebs down.
You're joking.
And I'm in Diego Corner.
Oh, welcome back, Diego Corner.
I was perusing the Don Internet. And there are a few things that I could not pass up anymore. Diego Corner's been put to bed for a while because he's not been doing much, and we don't want to milk it too much.
Yeah.
But
he's never stopped us before.
After the Real Madrid and Barcelona first leg Champions League semi-final, lots of people started comparing Messi to Maradona again.
Yes, did they?
And there's nothing like getting Maradona out of the sidelines than comparing a current player to him. You can't resist it.
No.
You can't resist it. And he said, the key point is that we are two Argentines who are able to conquer a European football. I love Leo, and whenever I see him on the pitch, it's a joy to watch. Two Argentines at the top. Imagine what Pelé's thinking.
Only took him 20 words to get there, didn't it?
But Pelé was not to be outdone. Pelé... almost, I think, pensioner Pelé.
Yeah?
Oh, no, he's older than that. Hey, Pelé's over 70.
Are we going off to Pelé Pyramid?
Okay, fine. Let's assume that Pelé is 70 years old. He's a 70-year-old man. Yeah. And he responded
saying... I think he's older than that.
He responded by saying... This is him. Yeah, this is him saying this. For me, Pelé is the best.
For me, Pelé is the best.
Nobody has done more than Pelé. He's the only player to be world champion at 17, winning 3 World Cups and scoring over 1,208 goals.
You'd think, being Pelé, you'd enjoy calling, not using the third person, because you are him. You're the only person who is him.
I've done this.
It's when the world inevitably ends in some sort of nuclear meltdown, there'll just be cockroaches and them two arguing over who is better. The egos will survive.
And Roy Keane's
beard. In other news, apparently El Diego's joined the candidates to take over San Lorenzo. Argentina club San Lorenzo. Club president Carlos Abdo said there's been contact with Diego, but other candidates include former Argentina national team coach Alfio Basile and Marcelo
Bielsa. Two better candidates.
Yeah, too many who actually can manage. So I would imagine that they might get the nod ahead of him. Yeah, but that's
remember where we're talking about. He's almost certainly going to get it.
Absolutely. I'd love to see him back.
Well, I want to see him in Europe, so it's a bit of a poison chalice for me. Double-edged sword. I want to see him managing, but I want to see him managing where I can watch a lot of his games.
I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, but not specifically not Portsmouth.
I would
You'd
love
have
to
Portsmouth,
see that.
Wouldn't you?
For a bit.
Okay. Now, come on back.
He's only
going to
be anywhere for a bit.
Yeah. Come on back for the emails, Luke.
That email jingle was from Matt Metherill. Thank you very much, Matt Metherill.
What up, Matt Seagill?
Mighty Matt.
Reminded me a bit of Mr. Blue's guy.
Yes, a little bit.
Quite 70s, yeah.
Mm. Oh, very good. Right then. Who's got what, yeah?
I got the first one. La 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 la. this is from Alex in the southeast. Short but sweet. I presume it's a he.
Be more specific with your locations.
A while back, I was watching an Everton game at Goodison Park, and Phil Neville was having a bad game. A fan in front stood up and shouted, "You may be sexy off the pitch, but you're a bastard on it, hot Nev." Rather weird.
Yeah, that is strange.
He's talking about your best man.
Hot Nev.
Yeah. Hot Nev. I hope that nickname sticks.
Is Gary Nev cold Nev?
Yeah. Freezing Nev.
Yeah.
Luke, I love a bit of hot Nev.
Yeah. Hot Nev.
Hot Nev.
Was that email?
That was it.
Lovely.
Yeah. What would you want?
Nothing.
Wow.
Hot Nev.
I've got an email as well.
Oh, naughty.
Rambleford's ho.
Hello.
Now that revision is taking over my life, I'm wasting time looking at ridiculous football facts and found two incredible people who I'd like to be entered into a Dean Windass Hall of Fame B team. John Burridge and Lutz Pfannenstiel. I think that's pronounced. Pfannenstiel, perhaps. Who knows? John Burridge holds the record for being the player who has played for the most teams in the world with an incredible 29 clubs in a 30-year career as goalkeeper, combining 771 league games, playing for Workington, Blackpool, Aston Villa, Southend United, United, Crystal right. Palace, QPR, no. Wolves, Derby. No. Yeah, Blythe Spartans, that ends with. However, a man who has scoured the globe in the search of football is the German goalkeeper Lutz Pfannenstiel. Still don't know how to say it. He may have to play reserve to Burridge, having played for a mere 25 clubs. But the journeyman has played in Germany, England, New Zealand, Singapore, USA, Brazil, South Africa, Finland, Malaysia, Malta, Belgium, Canada, Namibia, Norway, and Albania. Yeah, I type the teams out, but my laptop doesn't have some of the letters required to spell some of the team's names. Both have been disgustingly overlooked for their countries, but hopefully you good men will allow their limelight in the dwarf second string. Luke knows how it feels to be an unrecognised keeper. Cheers, Callum from Cardiff. Luke, you got your hand up.
Yeah, I think that the reason they've not played for their national teams is because no one knows where to find them.
He's saying that he wants them in the does he know Dino's off's in there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They don't want to get a game. There's no point signing them.
Don't need a B team.
No, exactly. But
their squad's massive.
Bert Trautman.
Yeah. To be fair, he's pushing on a bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Marcus almost looks annoyed.
Yeah.
Cheer up,
affronted.
Marcus.
I'm not annoyed. It's all an act.
I might start a sort of unofficial, like the unofficial World Cup, an unofficial Dean Windass Hall of Fame where pretty much all Newcastle players.
I'll get Lord Ramble to sue you.
You can't have Solez or Peter Beardsley.
Watch him.
I'll be there.
Watch him try.
So what's the point?
Try. I'll call him Sir Fez. It'd be like Fez video Lerner. Games where you're not allowed, where they don't have the rights. Yeah, they don't have the rights for the actual players.
Brian Plank.
Hats. Little hats. We had a few emails about the South American player who kicked the owl. Remember the guy?
Oh, yeah. That was ages ago, yeah.
Apparently he got fined. He did get fined nearly $15,000 for kicking that owl.
The owls have got some powerful friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally in high places.
Very good. But only around $400 for kicking an opponent.
that opponent was particularly violent as well. He had two goals at him. He had a good old boat in there.
So is that 200 quid for each?
The only thing I'll say is that the player presumably didn't die, but the owl did.
The funny thing is he responded to this fine by saying it was only an owl.
He's making it worse.
Owls are amazing.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
360 beards, brilliant.
Do you think that
emit pellets.
Do you think that if FIFA thought it was a racist attack, they would have fined him less?
I mean, would it be more if the animal was bigger? If you
like an elephant.
Kicked a cow to death.
It'd be less because the player's bigger.
True.
I was walking through Soho yesterday and a man
in London, people.
And a man had a dog on a leash and a woman, a very, very attractive woman, walked up to, this has nothing to do with the point, but walked up to the man with the dog and said, "I'm sorry, is that a wolf?" And it was no more a wolf than it was a bloody giraffe. It was ridiculous. It didn't look anything like a wolf.
She was chatting him up, Pete. You were jealous.
I would like to enter a wolf into Crufts. And just see what happens.
You'd like to enter a wolf?
Into Crufts.
Oh, okay, good.
Not
in the words of David
Brown.
And that's Crufts.
It's profile time.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. This man, his first name is Joseph, but you'll know him by his second name.
Fritzel.
I set myself up for that. Mm. It's Kevin Keegan.
Hey.
Oh, Keggy.
Keggy.
King Kev.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. Yes, the
Can
clown prince.
Can you believe
prince.
Your luck? Yeah. We're a... Kevin. Oh, King Kev.
It's time to redress the balance because he was actually a really good player.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And we've mentioned this many times, you know, that he doesn't get the credit as a player that, you know, he should have done because of his hilarious sort of...
Personal life.
Act. Yeah. just character.
No, but he is also a magnificent man.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure he's a lovely bloke.
What are you laughing at?
The bit when he fell off the bike in Superstars.
He got beaten up in a car.
That is specifically what I'm laughing at.
He was asleep in a lay-by and he got punched.
Oh, yeah. Was that anything to do with the Chuckle Brothers?
What?
At one point, one of the Chuckle Brothers got caught in a labour. I wonder if it was the same thing.
Don't say caught in a labour. That suggests. Yeah. That suggests. I'm going to put a super injunction out in your mouth.
Barry Chuckle.
Barry Chuckle.
it's 1 minute into the profile, we're already comparing it to one of the Chuckle Brothers.
Yeah. And also casting aspersions towards one of the same Chuckle Brothers.
Can I?
Yes, please.
Go on. Shall I? Kevin King, born on the 14th of February 1951.
Valentine's Day, 16 years before the Summer of Love.
Yeah, he was born on Valentine's Day. And that is actually, Valentine's Day is a celebration of love because Keegan was born on that day.
Little side, it's David Beckham's birthday today as well. Happy birthday, D-Beck.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, well done, Dave.
Yeah.
Another achievement notched up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Please continue to Keegan.
Yeah. Keegan, a superb player and a bloody fine chap too. Nobody's disagreeing. Now, he was also, it could be argued, that he was the first English player to receive the football superstardom that we're all too aware of now with the modern player.
Okay, yeah.
He did that advert, didn't he, with Henry Cooper?
Brute.
Brute, yeah.
Henry
that was
Cooper
a,
died this
week.
The
late, great Henry.
It's a shame.
Rest in peace.
Dear, oh dear. But anyway, back to Keegan. He started his football career at Scunthorpe United in 1968. Played over 100 games for them before he left to go to Bill Shankly's Liverpool.
Ooh.
The big boys.
It's a dream move.
It is. £33,000 they got him for. Shankly described the signing of Keegan for the small fee of £33,000 as robbery with violence.
Bloody hell. Don't admit to that.
In a theme that will continue over the years. Allegedly.
Because he knew Keegan had such potential. So in the summer of 71, he went to Liverpool. He started their first game of that new season.
In a helicopter?
Stop giving it away!
Yeah, you've done that again.
Sorry.
Yeah. This is when you call me the fun police.
Now, it was quite remarkable he started that game, the first game of their new season, because he'd been playing in the old fourth division with Scunthorpe. That was the only previous experience. He was only 20, young lad, so it showed how much faith Shankly had in him, and he scored after 12 minutes of his debut and instantly became a favourite at Anfield.
Fickle.
often partnered John Toshack up front, which was deadly, let me tell you.
John Toshack's a hard man.
Unit.
Still scared of him now.
Yeah.
One of those blokes who's still, although he's like in the autumn of his life, still think he'd give you a good old tanning.
Keegan swung a punch or two at times, didn't he?
Yeah,
he
rubbish did. Though.
Oh, come on.
He's not a fighting type, he's a lover, not a fighter.
Well, we'll find out more later. But a very enthusiastic player, bags of energy.
Yeah. Just enthusiastic about life in general.
Yeah. But with a creative flair. Good player.
Absolutely. Of
course. Great in the air for a smaller guy and a keen eye for goal. Now, Liverpool didn't win a trophy in his first season, but that all changed very quickly. In the 72-73 season, they won the league and UEFA Cup. The UEFA Cup.
Bring it back
when it was good.
Yeah. In the following season, they won the FA Cup. Then, at the start of the 1974-75 season, he played in the Charity Shield, as it was known then, against Leeds. And he got into a spot of bother with Billy Bremner.
Which is unlike a team playing against Leeds. I'm sure in the 70s. I'm sure you'd agree.
I never forget. Well, no, I don't remember it because I wasn't there. But it was seeing the footage again on video. It was
because they would have been matched up because Keegan was sort of like in the hole, sort of slash second striker sort of player, and Bremner was a hard midfielder, wasn't he?
Bremner was forward thinking as well, but I'm sure they matched them up just for the lols, and they got them. Bremner punched Keegan, didn't he?
And how can you sleep at night?
Yeah.
If at any point in your life you've done that.
Yeah.
That's worse than kicking that owl to death.
Well, Keegan...
also very similar.
Keegan got sent off and you can see him mouth when he gets sent off. He goes, oh, come on, Bob, man. I've been hit twice.
Have a red as well.
Oh, God, it's the most slapstick great of any sport ever.
You once described him as the unluckiest man in the world with regards to such things. And I think you're absolutely spot on. I mean, obviously not that unlucky. He's won the whole host of
Well, problems. No, but that's where he's created his own luck, isn't it? Circumstance, conspires against him all the time.
I remember he's got remember. He said his favourite goal was this beautiful bicycle kick. I think it was in the UEFA Cup, and it was like it was about 30 yards out. It was incredible.
Yeah,
ruled out, ruled
offside.
Ruled offside.
Oh, no. Look at
imagine. He was so annoyed, and he knew, and he said he knew at the time that would be the best goal he ever scored, and it will doubt.
But that's it's a running theme, and that's why that when he, in the 1970s TV show Superstars, where they put sports stars and famous people, and if you're not familiar with it, they had to take on like physical challenges.
Yeah.
Now Kevin Keegan, it was like a bike race against someone else. I forget who it was around the track.
Doesn't matter.
And Kevin Keegan fell off his bike just because he was trying so hard. He was trying so hard that the whole bike was shaking.
Yeah.
And he just completely stacked it. And also, the reason it ties in with the theme of him being really unlucky is that he looked like he really, really hurt himself. Yeah. He was like gravel marks all over him. Oh, bless him.
Oh, Keegs.
In he comes.
Oh, dear. Well, where were we? Famously in that charity shield final, he got sent off and he took his shirt off as he walked off.
Ripped.
Feeling like a magnificent torso. Yeah. When Bremner took his shirt off, he was like, I'll put that back on.
You're not going to win that fight.
With his wonderful hair. Keegan had great hair, didn't he? The perm, of course.
Great afro sort of perm, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it was quite an iconic moment. I mean, they got a lengthy back.
His hair?
Yeah, well, that was as well. He was iconic.
Yeah, Keegan. He was.
75-76, he won the league and UEFA Cup double again, being instrumental in both campaigns. And he was voted Footballer of the Year. And this was, of course, around the time he fell off his bike on TV.
That was part of the ceremony to accept the award. You rode out on the bike and fell off.
He had to cycle to go and get it.
That is like that happening to Messi now.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Mm. Now, interestingly enough, after that season, he gave a season's notice saying he was going to join Hamburg. Which is quite a bold thing to do. And
he's too honest there.
Yeah, he's a very honest man, Keegan. And why is that funny?
It just is, isn't it?
Luke is making this profile descend into farce.
Keegan is a superb player.
I know.
But you could sell him magic beans.
Yeah. Well, some have. Newcastle, right?
Anyway, so that season, his last season, they won the league. And probably the highlight of his Liverpool career, I'd imagine, was when they beat Borussia Mönchengladbach in the final of the European Cup in 1977. Mm. Bertie Vogts brought him down.
That was part of
the penalty.
Did he?
We talked about Vogts briefly.
Scotland manager, Bertie Vogts.
not the highlight of his
By the way, that was around the time when there was an unbelievable period of dominance for English clubs in European football. Yeah. Yeah, they won the European Cup six times in a row, something like that? I'm off the top of my head.
I think it ended with Villa, didn't it, in 82, I believe.
Yeah, was it that many times?
Well, Forest won twice.
Yeah, Liverpool.
Liverpool, lots of them.
That's right. He had a great relationship with the fans at Liverpool, and he said later that when they started singing "You'll Never Walk Alone," my eyes started to water. And there had been times when he was actually playing and he was crying while they were singing. He's absolutely loving it.
Well, he fell over.
Don't be like that. This man, an incredible.
Just
bond.
Move on. Just push on.
Okay.
No, that is amazing. That's very touching.
No, that is very sweet.
It does actually, in a more serious way, tie into the fact that he's a very emotional, heart on the sleeve style
absolutely.
Player.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it's great, absolutely great,
and loved by people. We love all that sort of stuff,
and it is important.
He's like a fan, isn't he?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely, it's great because people always one of the biggest things they use the stick biggest sticks they use to beat football with is that players don't care anymore, and Keegan evidently does still care about football, but did to a massive degree when he was playing.
Edmund Hughes, who was Liverpool captain under Shankly, said that when Keegan was with Liverpool, he was without argument the best player in Britain. A high praise from a man who would probably want to give himself that title. Good old Emlyn. And the great Bill Shankly himself said that Keegan was the player that helped ignite Liverpool's incredible trophy haul of the 70s.
That's huge.
Of course, the latter ones came under Bob Paisley, but that, what an accolade that is to have from such a great man like Shankly.
Well, one of the greatest majors ever, you know.
Yeah, and then he went for...
And then you fall off a bike on telly.
James.
And Luke laughs at you. That's how fickle Luke
that's
Moore
it,
is.
That's your last one. Last one. Right, he went to the Bundesliga for £500,000, which is a record fee for a British footballer and the most expensive player in the Bundesliga.
And he won a European Footballer of the Year for Pete's sake.
Well, it is for Pete's sake now, I think. he was dubbed the saviour of Hamburg, but he didn't start too well. You alluded to a little bit of fisticuffs earlier. Well, he was sent off for knocking out an opponent in a pre-season friendly.
What? Yeah, you're not giving it the big one now, are you?
You wouldn't think that.
No.
But what what the bla- I mean the other
splash
black
it on.
I like to think that when he did that the ref didn't see it, but he went up and just said, "Look, I just punched someone, you better send me off."
Yeah.
He's so honest.
Yeah. I think that's probably what happened, but but he did then really kick on with Hamburg, and he transformed their fortunes of that club, really. I mean, in his second season they won the league, which they hadn't won for 19 years.
Did they not lose in the European Cup final to Forest?
They did. They lost 1-0. I think that may have been his last game. He won two consecutive European Footballer of the Year awards.
Get on that.
That is something.
If you want to measure the calibre of the player he was.
Yeah. All joking aside,
I mean,
he was
one of the best players in the world, and people, this is what we talk about, you know, where people don't realise that.
Yeah. Because of people like us.
Yeah. We're dicks, is the point of this profile.
Yeah, James and Luke. It was a shame, though, that England weren't really a good side in the 70s. They failed to qualify for the 74 and 78 World Cup. Mm. And, you know, either side of that, he would have, you know, really helped them flourish. Kick on in tournaments. Yeah, absolutely, Pete.
Oh, he'd have only got his foot stuck in a bucket or something. And just
no, he did famously miss quite a good chance.
In the 82 World Cup. Yeah. That was a chance. He made a brief appearance, but he was
past
a lot of injuries
best.
And whatnot. But after Hamburg, he went to Southampton, which was slightly surprising.
He did, basically, every move he made, other than to Liverpool, was unusual, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Just very much a sign of someone who's his own man.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He clearly he wanted the football challenge,
yes.
Which is great.
In his second season, he was the First Division's top goal scorer. And voted player of the year.
Absolutely. He just wins player of the year awards wherever he goes.
Yeah, incredible.
He's like the manager's son.
After 2 years at Southampton, he left to go to Newcastle, and he stayed there until his retirement in 84. He helped them gain promotion back to the top flight, and in his last match for Newcastle, it was a friendly against his former club Liverpool, and there was half time, I think there was a minibus precariously driven around the pitch, which Keegan had bought to so it could take underprivileged children to Newcastle games.
Lovely
touch, isn't it? And then, of course, at the final whistle, we did a lap of honour, and then out of the sky came a helicopter, which landed on the pitch and picked him up.
He's Hollywood, that's why.
Yeah.
You don't see Prozanetti doing that.
He is box office Keegan.
he used to get like part of his agreement to go on to Newcastle, because it was a big, they weren't a massive club then, obviously. He would get points on how many people on the attendances and stuff.
Oh, really?
Because he was such a popular player.
Yeah.
He said he basically was embarrassed the amount of money he was making each year.
Really?
He was making millions of pounds. He was making absolutely.
Well, because they were just all going to see
ransom.
Him.
Yeah, because they're all going to see him.
Yeah.
He had an agreement with. I don't think it wouldn't have been John Holland, but whoever it was, he was basically embarrassed at how much money he actually had.
Blimey.
Bless him.
So he spent it all on a helicopter,
on a minibus. Yeah.
Yeah. I think did he drop his shirt out the window of the helicopter
that
drove off quite famously? I think he did. Yeah.
There's no way he did that on purpose.
No. With regards to his international career, though, as I said, it was a shame for Keegan that his best playing days came at a time when England weren't doing too well. But he did feature in a number of the old home internationals championships, winning 6 of them. Mm. And he did captain England over 30 times, so.
I didn't realise that.
No, I didn't know that.
Not too shabby. Not too shabby at all. Now, after
as we're continually finding.
Yeah.
After his playing days, I believe he went into management. It was in 1992, about 8 years later, that he took over at Newcastle, and his impact was immediate. They were fighting relegation in the old second division when he took over. He helped them survive and got them promoted the following season with Andy Cole scoring about a million goals en route.
Yeah.
First time out in the Premier League for Keegan and Newcastle, they finished third. Can you imagine that, being promoted?
Don't need to imagine it.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah.
And Pete
just remember it.
It was good, wasn't it? Andy Cole putting Andy Cole whack it top left against Spurs.
Oh yeah,
and the camera's spinning round.
Was that his left foot?
I think it was. Yeah,
yeah.
Beautiful.
One of the things I remember sort of quite distinctly about that period is when they sold Andy Cole, because Andy Cole clearly wanted to go to Manchester United, and Keegan had to go out St James's Park outside. Like,
well, no, he didn't have to. Did he? That was the great thing about Keegan. He would explain his actions.
He just went out and remonstrated with him. I remember being in like a roll neck jumper. Yeah.
And the thing is, he sort of it did well out at the end. He said, "Trust me." And to be fair, to his credit. We got a lot closer.
After
when they signed Fernand and Shearer and
Keegan's Newcastle, probably a lot of neutrals' favourite team in the 90s.
Oh, you know what I mean?
Aside from your own. They were great.
You got to remember how many iconic sort of moments that Keegan gave us as a manager. Him some slumped into after the Liverpool match.
Oh, the 4-3.
The 4-3.
There's a couple of those.
Yeah.
But, and also like the players he signed, people like Robert Lee. Robert Lee was never going to go sign for Newcastle, but he made out that I think Newcastle was closer to London than Manchester was. And Robert Lee believed him.
Yeah.
And so he went. And like
that's England captain Robert Lee, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. He signed some cracker.
Well, Shearer was a massive signing, wasn't he?
Shearer. Asprea. Yeah.
He used to come into the dressing room apparently and give the team talk and sort of say, he'd start by saying moment of your time, gentlemen, and Asprea found Keegan's coat and started holding court in the dressing room, sort of saying, moment of your time, please, gentlemen. And Keegan came in, saw him, went, carry on, and made him give the team talk.
Superb.
That's great.
But Asprea pull out a gun.
You do it.
Yeah.
But he just let players get on with it. He wasn't necessarily the most sort of it was that sort of manager who just let them play how they wanted to play.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why
as the defensive performances willed out. I think.
Well, that's why I think he maybe didn't reach particularly. We might focus on the negative because it's a profile band, but why he didn't necessarily reach the heights as a manager as he did as a player, as he wasn't as tactical. Finessed,
and he's admitted that himself, hasn't he? On many occasions.
Well, famously, when he handed in the England thing, which I'm sure you'll come on to, he was much more focused on sort of camaraderie and enjoyment and passion and hard work and stuff.
Even then, Bobby Robson was the same. He wasn't a massive.
I think Bobby Robson was more tactically skilled than Keegan.
Not a massive amount. I don't think. I think he was just let players get on with it and instill a sense of confidence.
Yeah, that's fair.
Them,
yeah.
But both extremely likable gentlemen.
Of course.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, we've got to mention they finished second in 95-96. I mean, that was incredible for Newcastle.
They were going to win it for a bit, didn't they?
he transformed that club. They were down in the old second division. He took them up to the top flight, and then they were battling for honours.
He had a lot of money to spend. To be fair, it was Chelsea-esque the amount of dollars that he laid down. Yeah, but it was, you know, there was no guarantee
it,
that. Yeah, exactly. There was no guarantee that he'd go there.
Of course, he left after that incredible season. Then he took over at Fulham. And again, transformed that club's fortunes. He got them out of the old Division 2 as champions. Then in 1999 was appointed England manager. He got England to Euro 2000, coughed and spluttered their way and beat Scotland in the playoff. But England didn't have a great tournament when they were there. But he did record a famous win against the Germans. Shearer getting the only goal. It was the first time in about 200 years England had beaten Germany. So, you know, he got that. Can't argue. Unfortunately, a year later, they did lose to Germany, of course, in the final match at the old Wembley in a turgid affair in the opening World Cup
qualifier. Was it Herman who scored?
Yeah.
Mm. Against Seaman?
Didi Herman,
it was a free kick, wasn't it?
That's right, it was an awful day.
Yeah.
Rained.
Keegan then resigned straight after the game, didn't he?
He did.
Have you planned that or not?
I've no idea. I wouldn't have thought so. It was amazing honesty. Again, it was. We talked about that earlier, but it's just the man wears his heart on his sleeve. He's not, you know, bullshitting anybody, and he just said straight after the game, bearing in mind last game at Wembley against Germany, World Cup qualifier, just been beat. And he just openly admitted, he said, I just don't think I have what it takes at this level to be successful.
Which is incredible. An incredible thing to admit to yourself, isn't it?
But it's very honourable as well, because you think of the managers that make all the excuses in the world. And
he's like the anti-Avram Grant, isn't he? Really?
It shows that he's got no arrogance about him at all.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very,
very, very humble man. And I remember, you know, David Beckham and a number of the players said, you know, we don't want you to leave. They loved playing for him. And I think he was the guy that we all wanted to really do a good job with England.
I remember being very excited when Keegan took over.
I think we would have loved to have seen him succeed, but shortly after that he took over at Man City, got them promoted.
He was there for a while at Man City.
Got them promoted into the Premier League.
Wasn't he in charge when they were 3-0 down against Spurs with a man down at half time and they won
4-3?
Yeah, amazing,
incredible.
He wasn't slumped that
year. He is box office.
He really is. Yeah, he really is.
He retired from football altogether in 2005. Or so we thought. And then was it?
No, he had.
Yeah. 2008.
So he thought.
2008. He made a sensational return to Newcastle after Allardyce was sacked. And I remember, Jim, you texted me when the news broke, just saying, "Yes."
It's a shame that, you know, his legacy was sort of like. I don't think it was tarnished, but there's unsavoury footnote on his time at Newcastle because of that. Because he was treated so badly there.
Well, exactly. But again, not his fault. And he left. death because he was there were forces that were acting upon his behalf that were nothing to do with him.
So it was just when Ashley was in his fucking idiot stage.
The Cockney Mafia.
Yeah.
But it was so good to see him when he was at that press conference when he was first unveiled. And I remember that some of the guys were trying to ask too many questions. Like, I think it was probably some Sky Sports guy. Hang on a minute, pal. You can't hog the questions. You've got to give everybody a go. He's just so fair.
Yeah.
You know, it's just absolutely wonderful to see.
There's no place for him in football.
No. Do you know what I mean, Pete? Sadly, that is the case, you know. But of course, now he's a pundit for ESPN. But he's given the game in this country and beyond many wonderful and entertaining moments. And Kevin Keegan, come into the Demon Dash Hall of Fame
for services to football and road safety.
Welcome in, Keggy.
Indeed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. I hope you've had a lovely time. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. And thefootballramble.com is the website.
Yep, and on the website in the Ramble blog this week, I look at the current trend for ref rage. Andy Brassel looks at a resurgent Paris Saint-Germain. And James Appel explains a horrible kidney injury to Rostov goalkeeper Dejan Radic. I think that's pronounced. Steve Reynolds gets philosophical on the morality of super injunctions. Chris Knee tells us of another horror injury, this time to Seattle Sounders Steve Zakuani. And Mikhail Zakodny takes us through the problems Polish football has faced with players being responsible for throwing matches. It's all a bit mental over there. So yeah, that's the Rebel blog. Get over there and have a look.
Marvellous.
Have a butcher's look.
Luke.
Oh, the weather's been picking up recently, hasn't it? It's been beautiful outside.
Beautiful.
Lovely.
Wherever fantastic.
I presume wherever you are in the world.
Yeah.
So, we haven't said this for a while, but it's still the case, very much the case. We've got an array of excellent Football Ramble themed t-shirts at thefootballramble.com. Competitively priced. You'll look the bee's knees. We're all wearing one right now. So get yourself over there. That's thefootballramble.com and click on the shop button and there's loads of fun stuff there.
Marvellous. Pete.
Every Friday we do a Football Ramble Extra. Oh, I mean, I say Friday, we record it after this one. Shh, don't tell anyone. So PFC every Friday, there'll be like a video from me and maybe a little cartoon. I'm picking on John Parkin a lot at the moment.
Yeah, I noticed that.
He is very fat.
He is a fat man. So, lots of fun to be had on a Friday with PFC.
And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, Pick Live. Live fantasy football on your laptop.
For real money?
It's for real money.
Our money, sometimes.
Yeah. It can make a boring game good and a good game amazing.
Yeah. Mm. That's perfect. That should be their tagline. That should really be their tagline.
It can make a boring game good. It's a great tagline.
Give tagline to Pick Live.
There we go. Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Easy.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
Au revoir.
And it's goodbye from me. We're all off to fall off our bikes. Cheers.
And he also, when he reads out the bingo numbers, I still think it's fucking embarrassing. He goes, the number is 394. It's like,
Why are they getting him to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I've got no answer.
Jim, you're personally responsible for this because you're the Arsenal fan.
Apparently so.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.